I do apologize. I do not have scripture for you on the screen this morning. We had a little glitch. We'll get that fixed. Just last several Sunday mornings, that's just been happening. So we're going to just preach what God gave me. And we're going to talk about operating under the authority of Jesus Christ. Operating under His authority. And how, as Christians, we were supposed to do that. And how it's not taught a lot, because it's been, like a lot of things, misused and misabused and took it to the extreme. I want a Cadillac, and I say it in the name of Jesus. Cadillac appeared in the driveway. Now, I'm not talking about that kind of preaching. Yeah, no, it don't work that way. I mean, you can try it, and if it works, you know, give me 10% of it. But all I'm saying is that we do have an authority in Christ as believers that we should be walking in and believing for and using that authority. Let me give you an example about authority. Now, I'm not talking about power. I'm talking about authority. There's a difference. I want each one to understand this. I think it's very important we teach the word correctly. None of us individually have any power over the devil. None of us. We're no match for the devil. I don't care how much you sing, how much you give, how much you speak in tongues, shout, dance, prophesy, sling oil on your head. None of us have any power over the devil. But we do have authority through Jesus Christ over the devil. And there's a difference. Let me explain it this way. If an armed robber was standing here with a gun pointed, and there was a police officer. We'll use Don for an example. Don's the police officer. He is unarmed. Nothing on him whatsoever, just unarmed. And a robber has a gun upon him. That robber has the power over Officer Don, but he doesn't have the authority. He still has the authority because of the badge he wears. Do you understand where I'm going with this? He has no power. He'd be a fool, honestly, to try to do something stupid to get himself shot. Okay, hands are up. Nothing on me. Just leave me alone. I'm going to go in peace. But that badge Don wears, the police officer, still gives him authority over that robber because he's disobeying the law. Jesus gives us the authority over Satan and all of his works. If we get too confident it's about us and we have power, we don't have no power. We have the authority through Jesus Christ. Through the Holy Spirit, we have authority to say, that's why we pray in that name, and we prophesy in that name, and we speak in that name. We say, by the authority of Jesus Christ, by the power of Him inside of me, I speak against you, Satan, and you have no room to work when I speak in that authority. Because we wear a badge called the Holy Spirit. And everywhere that we go, we have the authority over the enemy because of that. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, I believe, or 11 and 8, or says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in us to quicken our mortal bodies. So we have a living Spirit in us, a lively Spirit, that gives us authority over the devil. And we don't walk that way a lot of times. We accept things as they are and as they come because we walk in a defeated state because, one, we got the world telling us that. And I'll be honest, two, we got a lot of spiritual teaching that just teaches it is what it is. All is part of God's plan. Understand, the enemy attacks us every day. It's not part of God's plan. We just sit there and take that. And say, oh, well, just roll over me, enemy. I mean, would you let somebody come in and take your wife without fighting? I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. I would not let somebody come in and take my wife without fighting. Somebody trying to hurt your kids. Oh, well, they're going to kidnap my kid. It's God's will. Bye-bye, little Johnny. I'll be praying God's will be done. No. You'd be after that guy ripping his three hairs he's got left out of his head with a 9mm cock gangster style, get your hands off my kid before I pop a cap up in you. That's what you'd be doing. That's what I'd be doing. We fight for everything. Why do we think we shouldn't fight spiritually? We fight for our families. We fight for our jobs. Please, supervisor, please, I got 5 mouths to feed. Please don't fire me. Please don't. I won't do it again. I'm sorry. I mean, we beg for everything, don't we? We fight for everything. So when it comes to spiritual things, shouldn't we fight? Shouldn't we say, you know what? This isn't part of God's plan for me to be under attack and defeated all the time. I'm going to step out in the authority of Jesus Christ and take back what the devil has stolen or tried to take away from me. I'm going to walk in that power. You can't have my home in the name of Jesus. You can't have my children in the name of Jesus. You can't have my marriage in the name of Jesus. You can't have my health in the name of Jesus. It all belongs to God. And I'm going to start walking like I'm under the authority of a risen Savior and not a dead king. Time we walk in that power again. We do have authority over the enemy through Jesus Christ. Whenever anything happened in the New Testament, when Jesus healed or when his disciples healed, they always exercised his authority. Never their own. Never do you see in the Bible, in the name of me, Paul, I tell you to rise and walk. In the name of me, Peter, I speak healing. They always operated under the Holy Spirit and under the power that was given unto them. Acts 1 and 8 tells us that to wait on the promise, and when you receive it, you will receive power from on high to go and be witnesses to me in all Judea. So what was the purpose of the Holy Spirit? To empower us, to give us something to fight with. The Holy Spirit is our armor. It's our weapon. It's our 9mm that we should be walking in, cocked and loaded every single time an attack comes. We pull it out, and we speak against it, and we bind it forever and say, get out of here. You don't have the right to trespass on what God has ordained and what God has healed and what God's already died for. It's a done deal. You are defeated by Jesus, not by me, but by Jesus, Satan. You are defeated forevermore. And that Jesus lives inside of me. That's why we pray that way. This is where we see miracles happen, church. This is when we see strongholds broken, souls saved, when we recognize it's not us that does it, it's the authority of Jesus in us that does it. And we operate in that authority. You know the old saying, I don't know if the law ever says this, but you hear the saying by the law, stop in the name of the law. They actually say that in law enforcement? Barbara, never say that. Do you ever say stop in the name of the law? Okay. You knew it wouldn't do any good, right? It's going to keep running. You definitely say law, they're going to run. But it's an old saying, stop in the name of the law. What does that mean? It means you better stop because the law told you to stop. We should be saying stop in the name of Jesus. Every knee has to bow. And that's the scripture I want to read. Turn to Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Start with verse 9. See what it says about this name. And I apologize, the scripture aren't on the screen for you this morning, but we'll get that back up very quickly, hopefully. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, talking about Jesus, given him a name which is above every name. So is the name of Jesus above sickness and disease? Yes. Is it above a lost child? Is it above any giant that stands in front of you? Is it above any force that comes against you? Is it above any demon that arises against your life? Yes. His name, it says here, is above every name. He is supreme. He is king. He's on top. Nothing's bigger than him. Nothing's stronger than him, and nothing's greater than him. Every other name is under him, which means that name has authority over everything. Every single thing. But we accept and we tolerate and we deal with things instead of saying, tired of dealing with it. Do y'all ever get tired of dealing with stuff? Tired of just accepting stuff? Man, I do. And I find myself, man, like I told you about Ashley, I ain't even prayed. I've been complaining and whining and prayed. Haven't even exercised that authority that I was supposed to have. Why don't we do that? Because the enemy tells us not to. And he whispers doubt and defeat and it ain't going to work and at least it ain't this and just don't worry about it. It'll go away. And he starts whispering all this stuff in our ear instead of us taking authority over it through the name of Jesus. The name that's above every name. We speak against every battle. And we invoke that name before our battle. We go in the name of the Lord. This is what David said against Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. If you remember, he said, You come to me with a spear and a sword. I don't come to you with those things. I'm going to come to you in the name of the Lord. He put the name of the Lord in his battle. He knew, he realized his power came and his authority came from that name. I can't even fight, Mr. Goliath. I'm a shepherd boy. I've had no military training, no experience, no warfare. I've been out. I'm the youngest of my father's kids. He threw me out here in the field to watch the sheep. I've not fired a gun. I've not shot an arrow. I've not drove a tank. But here I stand before you. You're bigger than me. You're stronger than me. And you're more qualified than me. And you're better equipped than me in the natural. But I'm not going to come against you in the natural. I'm going to come against you in the name of the Lord. And when he did that, he slung that stone. The giant fell. It wasn't the stone that killed him. Understand this. This is a 9 foot, 422 pound. I'm just kidding. But he was big. Big man. And he hit the ground flat from a stone slung by a slingshot. It wasn't the impact, church, of the physical stone that destroyed him. It was the word of God that preceded the stone that destroyed him. I come to you in the name of the Lord. You're going down now because my God's fighting it. David invoked the name of his Lord. Moses, if you remember when he was at the burning bush and God called him. This is in Exodus 3. God called him and said, you're going to deliver my people out of Egypt. I'm calling you. Moses says, who do I tell them? Who do I tell the children of Israel who sent me? And he said, go tell them, I am sent you. So what did Moses do? He went back and told them, God has called me and God has gone before us. The I am has sent me. Once again, Moses is operating in the authority of the God who called him, not himself, in the I am who sent before him. We see this throughout all of the scriptures. Men and women of God that knew it was the power of that name. It was the authority they had in God, not in themselves, that they were able to do these things. When Elijah called down fire from heaven with the 450 false prophets, he called down the name of his Lord. He said, Lord God, he called them down, said, consume this altar. He was invoking that name that's above all names. He was speaking the name that 450 false prophets couldn't change, couldn't erase, and couldn't stop. All their dancing, all their cutting themselves, all their chanting did nothing. But when the man of God invoked the true living name, the true name of the living God, something happened. A fire from heaven fell and consumed that fire. And those prophets were killed and destroyed, not by the power of Elijah, but by the authority that was in Elijah, the God Jehovah, who raised him up for that time and for that season. We, church, have the Holy Spirit in us as believers, and every one of us have the authority to exercise that power over the enemy through him. Don't hear this a lot taught anymore, or it's either extreme. You don't hear it, but it's part of Scripture, and it's part of the Bible, and it's part of our covenant. So when our kids get sick, we speak the name of Jesus to them. When we have a problem, we speak the name of Jesus. When things come against our lives, we speak to that giant in that name. By the authority of Jesus, I speak to you. Not by my authority, but by the authority of the one that lives inside of me, that raised me up. And church, we're all going to have that resurrection day too, because the same Spirit that birthed us in a new salvation will also quicken these mortal bodies, and we will always at one day be forevermore alive with the Lord, forever changed. That's the same Spirit of God. Now, if that same Holy Spirit's got a sealed covenant inside of me to raise me up the last day into everlasting immortal life, I think there's enough power there to help me on the earth to get through what I need to face every single day. It's kind of like a Mustang. If you're, well, girls and guys, but if you're a guy in here, you like the sound of a Mustang, a good old Mustang, and you know the big old V8 engine, and that thing got some power, and you mash on that gas, vroom, vroom. See that RPM and them needle, and just, oh, it's great. And you know what? Is a Mustang very fun to drive at 35 miles an hour? It's more fun to drive about 90 in it. Oh, just you never tap into the power. I mean, you see people driving these sports cars, you got to pass them. Are you kidding me? Just, you know, Don't want to get over 40. Don't want to get no dust on the engine. Man, crank that thing down. Hammer it and use it. Use it. There ain't no young folks in here, is there? Okay. Use that power. I have never had a V8 vehicle. Probably a good thing, right? Never had a V8 vehicle. I had an 8. I've always had 6 cylinders. I've never had an 8. I would like to have an 8. It'd be nice. But yeah, I've got no speed tickets of 6, so I don't need an 8. But it's kind of like that. Spiritually, we have all this power through the Holy Spirit. But how much are we mashing the gas? Are we just using a little bit? I believe in a little Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. I feel your spirit. And okay, that's enough, God. That's enough. I don't feel no more. Or do we really allow the gas to be mashed and experience the full experience, the Richard Petty driving experience? Do we really experience the fullness of it? We have such power through the Holy Spirit in our lives that's there. The Bible says we are the temple of God. The Spirit dwelleth in us. His Spirit. I'm talking about the Almighty Spirit dwells inside of us. We are walking tabernacles of the Holy God. Everywhere we go, His presence is in us. It goes with us. We can't escape it. It's inseparable. It's in there. Are we using it? Or are we just letting it lay there dormant and not activating what God's gave us? If we'd activate the power of God in us like we did our mouth, we'd be way ahead, wouldn't we? I mean, think about how much we use our mouth. Don't have any problem activating that, boy. Let one thing happen. We're off, man. Okay, calm. All of us, including me, we can't control our mouths. If we use the Holy Spirit the same way and recognize I'm going to start using my mouth to speak the things of God and not the defeat of the enemy. If we would take our word, see, and this has been teaching for years. A lot of people don't believe this and they think it's fairy tale preaching, but understand, our words have power, church. Our words produce change. Our words can produce victory or they can produce defeat. Because here's what happens. We wake up tomorrow and we start speaking all the wrong things out of our mouth. That gets into our mind and our spirit. And then we become a recipient of what we have spoken and we operate in those words. Versus waking up saying, this is the day. I challenge you, try this and see if you don't have a better day or go out of the bedroom dancing. Wake up. This is your day, God, that you hath made. I will rejoice and be glad. The devil has no authority over my life today, but the Holy Spirit lives and breathes and dwells inside of me. I am the redeemed. I am more than a conqueror. I am the seed of Almighty God. I am His friend. I am His child. I am blood bought, restored forevermore, and no harm can come my way. I will not be destroyed, and I will not be defeated, and I will not be overcome, for the overcomer's inside of me all day long. Now go out your bedroom saying that and see what happens. You don't care your wife burnt your toaster, didn't make no coffee. It just don't matter. Praise God. Jesus is alive. I'll get coffee at the gas station. I'll tell them Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. It just makes a difference. We're not activating that like we should as Christians. We just take stuff and we walk so defeated. Instead of rising up and reclaiming what God has given us. Let's read on Philippians, verse 10. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Everything. Now, I know we take this scripture as meaning, which it does, meaning, you know, all the principalities in heaven, all the things here on this earth and all the things in hell have to bow at Jesus' name. That's true. But when I see this verse, I begin to think everything that opposes itself against me has to bow the knee at the name of Jesus. Every enemy that rises has to bow the knee at the name of Jesus. This is why the name of Jesus is being taken out and it's so controversial. You know, we talked Wednesday night about the college experiment. Some of y'all heard about this, where the professor had their students write the name of Jesus on a piece of paper and then put it on the floor and then stomp on it as part of an experiment. Some college, I forget where it was. And all but one student would do that. One student refused to step on the name of Jesus. I mean, why Jesus? Really? Why not Muhammad? Why not Krishna? Why not Saddam Hussein? You know? Why the name of Jesus? Wow. And one student couldn't do it, and he got expelled for it, for not stepping on the name of Jesus. Why does that name stir so much hatred? Why does that name stir so much stuff? Because it invokes every demonic force inside of mankind. Because at that name, they lost. Church, when Jesus came out of the tomb the third day, they were defeated. The devil and all of his legion was defeated. The war was over. Jesus could truly say, with a banner on the ship of Sea of Galilee, mission accomplished. He could say that, mission accomplished. And so when we say Jesus, we see here every knee has to bow. Every knee. Every giant, every demonic force, every angel, every king, every kingdom, every human, every heart has to bow, because that name's been exalted over every other name ever in history. So when we invoke that name, it stirs something up. I told Wednesday night about you going down there singing at Charlotte and what they said about too much Jesus. Could you curb Jesus? And we're talking about this name Wednesday night. Too much Jesus. Got too much Jesus in your song. Really? Without that, what is there left? I mean, we don't serve a generic God. We serve a named God. Remember in Acts when Paul went into, was it Athens or one of the cities, and he went to the altar, and it says they had an inscription to the unknown God. And they had all these false gods lifted up. And Paul began to tell them who the God was. He said, I see on your scripture you're praying to an unknown God. Let me tell you who he is. I know who he is. We don't serve our own unknown God. Our God has a name. We know who he is. Very personal God into our lives. And when we invoke the name of Jesus, that name above every name, every knee, every giant, every force, every demon has to... This is where the power comes from. It's not in us, church. It's not in what we do. It's not in our hands or our words. It's in the power of Jesus, the authority of Christ in us. That's the authority that overcomes and crushes every single enemy in that name. We put that name out there, and we're operating under him. Operating under him. Just like in nature, here in the earth, a student's authority is the teacher. A teacher's authority is the principal. You go to work, you have a supervisor, that's your authority. You might like what they say, might not agree with it, but that's the authority being given to you. You may not agree with the police officer giving you a seatbelt ticket or speeding ticket, but that's the authority over you. And you must surrender to that authority. We don't like our parents sometimes, but we're the authority over our kids. We're the authority. When we say no, they don't like it. Tough. We're the authority. Respect the authority. How do my children get to do things in life if I give them permission under my authority? I give them the authority to go out and do that. Okay, I give you authority. You can go out and spend the night with your friend. You can go out and do this. You can go to the beach. You can go here. You got my permission. Without you can't go. We are under the operation of the authority of Jesus. I go in your name, Lord. I pray in your name. I prophesy in your name. I speak in your name. I pray in your name. I worship in your name. God, I speak in your name. I walk in your name. Everything I touch is in your name. God, I go in your name. I'm charged and I've been honored with your name. I carry your badge upon me. Everywhere I go, when they see me, they see you. They don't just see just me. They see the authority I wear. You remember Barney Fife when he went to the two guys, the farmers were on the selling the produce on the side of the road. He was all scared. Andy tried to tell him, you know, it's the badge. You got to respect the badge. The second time Barney went back, he had a little courage up, you know. And he went up and got his nose all curled up. Said, see this here, fellas? This represents the law. And this badge represents a whole lot of people who are a whole lot bigger than you. We wear a badge, the Holy Spirit. That represents a power and authority a lot bigger than anything else. And so when we're under attack, we speak that word. I'm under the authority of God. And he's given me permission, devil, to cast you out. He's given me permission to lay hands on the sick. He's given me permission to speak to my family and my children. He's given me permission to preach the word of God. He gives me permission to prophesy in his name. He gives me that permission. Because I'm under his authority. He sends me forth to do His work. Operating under the authority of God. How many more victories could we have if we use the power that's in us and not just take it? Twisted Sister had a song back in the early 80s. If you're my age or younger or older, you may know Twisted Sister, a crazy group. Had the old song, "We're Not Gonna Take It." We're not gonna take it. No, we're not gonna take it. We're not gonna take it anymore. Anybody remember that song? You don't know that song, Bruce? Oh, I'm sorry. I saw Linder's hand go up. I guess you're so high in the air, I missed it. That's what we should be. Twisted Sister has something going on there. We're not going to take it. Devil, we're not going to take it. I don't have to take it. Jesus took it for me. I don't have to suffer. He suffered for me. I don't have to be sick. He was sick for me. I don't have to be defeated. He overcome defeat for me. I don't have to not have peace. The chastisement of my peace was upon Him. Every stripe on His back was for me. Every bruise for me. All my iniquities placed upon Him that I could be free. Him that knew no sin became sin that I could become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. I'm just not going to take it. And I'm tired of you being in my life. It's time for you to hit the road and get out. Like them lazy kids we want to kick out of the house, right? Time to get out. You're 41 years old, still eating my Benny Wings. Get out of the house. Time to go. We're not going to take it. And there comes a point. You know, some of you are very, are natured differently. Some of you can speak your mind anytime you want. You have no problem with that. And I appreciate it. Others of you hold stuff in till you explode. I appreciate that too. You'll hold stuff in, and then whew, it all comes out. And I had a point to that. I guess don't hold it in, just come talk to me, but that wasn't a point. Each of us are natured in a different way. And if we realize that inside of us, the Holy Spirit is there to fight for us, that we don't have to hold things in, we don't have to fight our own battles, bless you, the one of many to come, that we can speak to the mountain, just as Jesus said, and it will be moved. Speak to the mountain. Take authority back. The authority God has given you. Authority to rule and to reign over the works of the devil. Jesus says, "I came to destroy the works of the enemy." It gets to a point we say, I'm not taking it no more. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And I'm going to speak His word, believe by faith that it is, and start operating in a different way than I had before. Doing the same thing over and over, same result, is insanity, as we know. How many of us do the same thing over and over and over with different, same result? Nothing changes. Time to change. We speak. We lay our hands on our situations and begin to speak the word of God to them. They will change. Just like I did the children. Remember, if you was here last Sunday morning, we lined all the kids all the way across the altar. Everyone that was here, all the kids, school age kids. And we prayed, I prayed, we the church prayed over them salvation. And we declared it to be done. If you remember, I even said, let it be noted in heaven this day, the declaration over these children. Let it be noted, this declaration, that every child that was here last Sunday at this altar, that saving grace would be a part of their lives. You know what that's doing? It's taking authority. And we have that authority through Jesus. It wasn't my authority. It was the authority of God that we did that. And your authority in Christ that we did that. Calling things as they weren't, as though they were. Some were already saved. I realize that. But some weren't. And so we want to declare that our children all are in the kingdom of God. And we speak that and we declare that through the authority of Christ. Because that's the name above every name. And don't think the enemy didn't like that at all, having these kids up here. The devil didn't like that whatsoever, us declaring that word of God. Because he realizes that his influence does not supersede the authority of God's word. That's why James tells us to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. The first part of that is submit to God. Okay, God, I'm in your authority. When we do that, then we resist the devil. Under your authority, I resist, and he will flee. You know, God does not tempt us into evil. The Bible says that. It does not tempt us into evil or sin or wrong. We are drawn away by our own lust. So how do we get out of that? We speak the word of God. We submit to God. We resist the devil. And the Bible says he will flee because he can't stand up against God because he's already defeated. The Bible says he roams and he roars like a lion, seeking who he, and he does. That's why I'm saying, church, we don't have power in ourselves over the enemy, but we have authority through Christ over the enemy. So we can't go out putting on boxing gloves. I'll fix Satan. Just watch this. Come on, Satan. I'm James Lewis. You don't know who you're messing with, boy. Come on. That's foolishness. Now, maybe Doc, he's a Marine, but not me. I'm not a fighting man. I'm a lover, not a fighter. But authority through Christ I do have. And so when the enemy rises in my life, I can hide. If you want to call it hide, that's fine. Hide. Devil? Yeah, where you at? I'm right here. I don't see you. I'm behind him. See this guy in front of me? He's my authority. And in that authority, I speak against you. And when he sees the eyes of the Lord, he sees the blood of the cross, he has to bow. It's not a question. It's not an opinion. It's a fact. We're reading it. Every knee will bow. There's no name higher than that name. Then look at verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. No name higher. Every knee bow. Every tongue confess. He is supreme. He is Lord. There's no authority greater than his authority. Don't you love when you can use someone else's authority to get a point across? You know, the kids come to me, Daddy, can I go so-and-so? Can I go so-and-so? Your mama said no. Yeah, but Daddy, your mama said no. We love using that card, don't we? Or at Walmart. Kevin, get them. You need more flagging in that four-foot section. Get some more flags up. You need five per four-foot section. You ain't got but three. Get some more up. That's what Charles said, Kevin. That's what Charles wants, more flags. Takes it all off me, don't it? I'm not the guy. I'm not the bad guy. Charles is. We love using people's authority when it counts, when it's for our benefit. We love using that authority. Why don't we use it spiritually? Devil, in the authority of Jesus, I come against you. You say Jesus? I say Jesus. Yeah. Jesus. Let me say it fast real time, 10 times real fast, devil. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Kind of like Goober, you know? Judy, Judy, Judy. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You want me to say it? He has to bow. But first of all, here's the qualifications to be able to operate this way. One, you got to be born again. You got to be saved. You got to be Jesus. You got to be Christ. You got to know that he lives inside of you to have that authority. And number two, we got to have faith when we operate. And we got to believe it. I mean, if I was walking around town and had Don, my bodyguard, he was with me, and I knew he was packed everywhere I went, he's there. He's just packed everywhere I go. I go sit down at a restaurant, he's sitting over here right with me, gun on his hip, loaded, ready to go. Everywhere I go, he's there. You know what? I could walk in the ghettoest of ghettos. What's up, homeboys? Don't mess with me. Look right there. Come on, Don. I'm walking down the streets, boy, looking good, chilling. What's up, man? Like your dog. Nice wheel, bro. I feel confident. You know why? Because I'm protected. He's got my back. Until he pulls it out and remembers he forgot to load it. Thank you, man. Or until someone else's gun's bigger than his. But everywhere I go, he's there armed. I feel safe. Everywhere we go, we're armed because we have the Lord with us. He watches us, church. We're going down the road. He's watching us. He's got our back. The Bible says he goes before us and makes a way. He's behind us, around us, in us, over us. He's everywhere we go. He's an unescapable presence. Man, that's good news. everywhere I go, he's there. I'm armed with the power and authority of Jesus Christ so I can use it. So the devil starts messing with me. Let me tell you who I serve, Satan. I serve the one that crushed you at Calvary. I serve the one that destroyed all of your legion 2,000 years ago. I destroyed Satan. I serve the one that rose the third day, that I live forevermore. I serve the one that death can't have me. The grave will never hold me. I serve the one that darkness will never envelop my life. I serve the one who overcame death, hell, and the grave for me, that I forevermore will be alive. I have everlasting life. That's who I serve. Now mess with that, Satan, because I'm under the covering of Jesus. He just can't penetrate that. We are protected like a force field. Boom, 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 just bounces off. If I stay in the authority of Jesus, and if I know my covenant, I am, the Bible says, more than a conqueror. How? Through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror through, not because of my Bible knowledge, not because I'm a, you know, a great saint, not because I'm a seasoned Christian. I'm more than a conqueror, the Bible says, through Christ who strengthens me. That's where my authority comes from, through Christ. I speak that name and things happen. I speak that name and things change. Nothing remains the same when you start operating in that name. It's never the same. Let me read one more scripture. I know it's 11:05, but just give me about 5 more minutes if you would. I want you to turn very quickly with me to Matthew. Let me see. Matthew chapter 8. We will continue this tonight. I got 2 parts. We'll go more in the New Testament tonight and some Acts. But Matthew 8, talking about the authority. Most of you have heard this story. Matthew chapter 8, this is talking about Jesus heals a leper, but he doesn't ever touch him or come close to him. So how'd it happen? Matthew 8, verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou will, that... Hang on, I'm on the wrong one. That's not it. Verse 5. Same chapter, verse 5. A centurion's servant was healed. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus says, I will come heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And if I say to this man, go, he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to him, them that followed, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Then look at verse 13. Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Same hour. Imagine this. Bruce comes to me. I'm Jesus. I've always got to be Jesus. I'm the preacher. I'm Jesus. Bruce is the lieutenant. He says, Master, I got a soldier back home, 20 miles away, sick and dying. Can you heal him? Oh, yeah, I'll come right away. Give me a couple days, I'll be there. Don't need to come, Lord. Just speak the word, I know he'll be healed. Because when I tell my soldier to do something, they do it because I got the authority over them. Well, you got the authority over sickness. That's what he was saying. You got the authority over sickness. Just speak it, it'll happen. Because sickness is your soldier, it has to obey you. And so Jesus says, wow, no great faith have I seen. Your servant's healed. And the lieutenant goes back home and finds him made whole. This centurion had enough understanding to recognize the authority Jesus had. That all he had to do was just say it. That he had authority over sickness, over disease, over anything. He went to him, just speak it. What a lesson for us. This is operating in the authority of Jesus Christ. Letting our spirit just surrender. Knowing, God, you're bigger than this. And I'm giving it to you. you've got the power over this. I don't, but you do. Beautiful story of great faith and recognizing the authority. You don't say he was even a believing man. He just knew that Jesus could heal. He knew he had heard about him. He knew he had the power to heal. It's like if you assemble a team around, you want the best people around you with their skills. He went to Jesus. You can heal this man. I heard about you. He says, all you got to do is speak it, because I know that sickness has to listen to you like my soldiers listen to me. Walk in that power and walk in that authority and speak forth that name. There's no name greater than that name of Jesus. We're going to get into part two tonight and go into the book of Acts with some more of this, of walking in the authority of Jesus Christ. Church, if you are defeated, if you feel hopeless, if you're tired of being where you're at, begin to recognize who lives inside of you and walk that way again. Declare the goodness of God again and understand He is your rock and your fortress in whom you shall trust. He is your shepherd that leads you if you just follow. Walk in that power. Walk in that authority. I am God's child. And that means I got benefits. Benefits of the Father. And I'm going to start walking those benefits. I'm going to start mashing that gas down and getting the full bang for my buck. Because I'm tired of being defeated. I'm tired of losing battle after battle. I want to be free. I want to have peace again. I want to have peace. There's a peace God gives that passes our understanding, the Bible says. A peace that even in the middle of our storm, we can rest and have hope. Because we know who's in us. Give your battle to God. And let His authority be your guide. When you pray, pray in the name of Jesus. The only name that has any power. It's the only name that makes any difference, church. Nothing happens until we do that. Bow your head with me, please, if you would. Lord, there's so many I know that are battling, so many that are in a state of defeat or discouragement this morning. Some that don't know which way to turn. They're tired of being where they're at. They're tired of being in this cycle of defeat, this cycle of discouragement, this cycle of fear, this cycle of no joy and no peace and no encouragement. And Lord, I just pray for the hearts and minds here this morning. They hear the word and they take this word as truth, Lord, and begin to operate again in your Holy Spirit and say, I'm under the authority of a living, mighty God. And I will leave here and begin to speak to my giants again. Begin to walk in that power God's given me. Begin to see the walls of defeat fall down at my feet. Begin to see victory arise again. Begin to see strongholds loosed and powers of the enemy broken. See that happen. Lord, let us walk in your authority. Let us realize we are children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And that, Lord, all things are possible with you. Thank you, Lord, for your power, for your Holy Spirit that indwells us. Give us the knowledge and wisdom to speak to those things that stand before us and believe that they are going to be gone and believe things are going to be healed and restored and made right. God, you saved us from death, hell, and the grave. There's nothing too big for you. And I just speak for an empowerment here this morning to those that are here in this service. An empowerment, God. A revelation that they'll realize, man, what I've been living like this, why? The Word of God is right. I am more than a conqueror through the authority of Christ, and I'm going to once again walk that way and believe that and speak in my home, speak in my car, speak on my job, speak in my life. I'm going to speak the Word of God that it will be manifested and bring forth fruit that will not die, but fruit that will multiply over and over again. Thank you, God, for the Word and for your presence. And I pray for encouragement in the hearts of those here that they will go forth charged and lifted up by the word that's been spoken today, your word. We give you praise. We give you honor. You are the victor forevermore. And the victor lives inside of us. We are not defeated, but we are victorious. We are not sick, but we are healed. We are not discouraged, but we are lifted up. We are not dead, but we are alive. Thank you, Lord, for your power and your word and your mercy and your grace. And we give you thanks for all things. In the name of Jesus, go with us in a different way today. And we give you praise for it in your precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.